Good morning. It's okay, you don't want to say good morning back. You're Canadian, so I assume that no one would feel comfortable responding anyway. So today we're going to be starting a new series, and I'm very excited about this series. It's a series that is personally connected to my heart and has been a big part of my journey with the Lord. And it's going to be extending over the next few months, and so I just want to invite you to join with me as we go through that. But up until about 2 weeks ago, I thought about doing something different, and I was going a different direction. I was going to do a different series of talks that were much different. It was lighter. It was funnier. It was more informational. And this series that I'm going to be doing is a much more intense series. A series more about change and about getting down to the deep soul issues that hold us back from living a larger life with God, the life that we all wish that we could be living. And so when I felt that the Lord was leading me in that direction a few weeks ago, I became excited and a little worried, and I went to Lacey and I told her about it, and I said, you know, what do you think about this? And she affirmed that this was indeed where we needed to be heading, because for a lot of reasons, but one of them, she said in particular, is that, you know, it's the new year. And so this is the time of year that people are looking to make some change and to be transformed in some way. Because we're looking at the past year, you know, with all the expectations we had and all the regrets. And we're looking forward to a new year, you know, with all the hope. And we're hoping that it's going to be better and a little bit brighter. And we're looking to make a change in our lives. And so this series is going to be, yes, more intense, less light, but it's going to be transformational. But the transformation won't happen unless you're willing to be transformed. And I think that's so important. And so I've been praying for you, and our staff has been praying for you, that you would want and that you would desire to be transformed and to see some change in your life. If not like your whole life, just maybe there's parts of your life that you want to see changed. And that you'd be willing to go on that journey with us. And so that's my prayer for you. That's my question to you is, do you want to be transformed? Do you want Jesus to come in and change those parts of your life that maybe have been off limits to Him before? You know it. And so if that is you, and you're feeling that, well, then I invite you not just to listen to these sermons, but to come on a journey with me. It's a journey that I'm going to be on myself. These sermons are going to be a lot more personal than most of my other sermons, even though people thought those were pretty personal. A man at my old church used to say, Keith, what I like about you is you take your pants off on stage. And so I want to do that again. It was metaphorical. Daryl, it's metaphorical here. What do you mean by that is I get vulnerable and I put myself out there and I share my own experiences. So if you would, let me take my metaphorical pants off on stage with you during this series. And I want you just to come with me as we go on this journey, because you're going to have to be doing that too and doing some deeper soul work. And so I just invite you to come with me on this series. And that means not just listening to these as like just messages on a Sunday to be heard, but as tools that you can use throughout the other 6 days of the week, and tools which God can use to do the deeper work. And so this series is called Closing the Gap. And as we go through this series and talk about these deeper soul issues, I would love to hear your stories as well as I share my story. That means that we'd love to hear how is it that God has been transforming you and changing your life. And we'd love to hear those from the front, just as I share my stories from the front. If you're uncomfortable doing that, like I do that, just speaking, you know, you can always write down your story, and we'd love to read that out maybe. And so if you do have those stories and you'd love to share them with us, we'd love to hear them. You can let me know or let Heather, our worship service director, know. And we can encourage each other with our stories. And so in the series Closing the Gap, we're going to be talking about closing the gap. And the gap I'm referring to is the gap that currently exists, and maybe you've become aware of it, between your life and the life that you read about in the New Testament. Between what you read about in the Word of God and the current reality that it is you are experiencing. And so I want to start by just painting a picture of the gap that I'm referring to, so that we're all on the same page here. I love this example that was painted by an Alliance pastor in the United States. It's a pastor who I know, and he's actually a speaker at our pastor's retreat a few years back. And just as I found it interesting, because over the last few weeks, you know, now that I've kind of settled and I've transitioned and I'm in my home, I've been having many of you over for dinner, and I've been going to your homes for dinner, and I've been just hearing your stories. You'll know, maybe I've asked you over dinner, tell me your story. So I want to hear your story and understand where you're coming from. I'm not from this area. I haven't been at this church for 10, 20, 30 years like some of you. So I want to know your story, and I want to understand your experience. And so I know just from hearing your stories that this is a story that is familiar to you, and maybe it's one that you can resonate with. He says, I grew up in a church that was basically ineffective. The people who went to church in this little Christian and Missionary Alliance church I attended, they were nice and moral people. But all my growing up years, I can only remember one adult convert. That was my own dad. I don't remember anyone being healed or delivered from demonic spirits. I don't remember too many testimonies about people being dramatically delivered from drugs or transformed by the power of God or freed from a life of immorality. I'm sure some of these things were going on, just not very often. It was a nice little church with nice moral people that made very little impact on the planet. Yet when I read the Gospels and the book of Acts, it didn't seem to me that this was the way that God wanted the church to be. Something was wrong with the condition of the church. Sadly, I certainly wasn't helping matters any. I wasn't following Jesus in my own life. I believe Jesus was the Son of God and that He died and rose again. But it didn't make much difference in the way that I lived my life. And as I got older, I even read my Bible and prayed. But yet I still remained largely apathetic and unaffected. See, what he's doing here is he's painting a picture of the gap that many of us Christians in Canada today and many people in churches are experiencing today. And the truth of the matter is that the Bible, more often than not, even though we believe it's true in our minds, we believe that what's more true is our experience. And so if there was a gap that existed between what we read about in Scripture and what is the current reality in my life that I'm experiencing, I would choose to say that my experience is the real and true thing. And the Bible is that thing that is questionable. Maybe it's not true, or maybe it's not saying what I think it's saying. But if the Bible is indeed the objective Word of God, which I, with all my heart, believe that it is, then I must believe that it is true, and it is exclusive truth. And then so things really should be the other way around, in that I should be letting the Bible lead my experiences, not the other way around. And so instead of sort of lowering the Bible to meet my mundane everyday experiences, I should be looking to elevate my life experience to match the excellence of Scripture. And if there was a gap that existed between those two things, then I should be questioning my experience and not questioning the truth of Scripture, right? I think many of us believe this is the way it should be, and this is the way it should be. We need to elevate ourselves to Scripture. And I think many of us have encountered this gap between what the Bible says and what I'm experiencing, right? Whether we really spend time to talk about it too much, which we probably won't because it makes us a little bit uncomfortable, there is a gap there. And my question to you is, what do you do when you experience the gap? Like when you come face to face with the gap, what do you do? Do you choose to argue against it? So you kind of argue it away. And you say, well, maybe it's because this. Or do you do what most people do, is you just kind of put it out of your mind? You know, you just kind of ignore it. You don't go there. You know, you don't read books that point out that gap. You know, you don't have a high expectation. You just kind of ignore those kinds of conversations, right? Or do you read the truths of Scripture, no matter how challenging and excellent they may be, and you ask the harder question of, why is it that I'm not experiencing those things? And how can I? Now, if you're like me, you know, especially years ago, I used to really do one of the first two, you know. I would either ignore it or I would argue it away. And believe me, Bible school, a good Bible school education can give you lots of fodder to argue away the gap, right? I mean, there's a lot you can do with the Greek. Believe me, you can do a lot with that. You can, oh, this word means this and this and this and all that kind of stuff. And what is the most interesting thing is, once you start going into God's Word and just letting His Word speak, you know, the most interesting thing you'll find is that He often is saying exactly what you think He's saying, you know, no matter how challenging it may be. And what's awesome is that when you go into commentaries, which are like books people write about the Bible and they explain what it means, they'll affirm it too. You'll be like, oh, this is super challenging. There's no way that this can be true. You go there and the commentators will say, yeah, well, you know, it is. It's true. That's what it's saying. The Bible really is saying this. Jesus really is saying these things. But they never, you know, go on to explain, well, then how would, you know, well, what's with the gap then? You know, how would I experience that? You know, what about the tension that most people never even would get there? You know, how do you explain that? And they never really do the job of doing that. But it's recently in the last few years, I've been choosing to just let God's Word stand on itself, to take it as it is, and let my experience take the back seat for once, you know, and let it go and to question my experience. And as I've been doing that, it's been the most exhilarating process, you know, and it's been super challenging. More often than not, I've fallen off. And when I do that, it's often just because I'm lazy, because Scripture is super challenging. And sometimes you just look at it and you go, it's not up for the challenge. I'm feeling lazy today. But when I've always chosen to let His Word speak and question my experience, I've always benefited from it. And the life that I lived afterwards, it was always so much better that when I looked at the life before, it seemed like, you know, rubbish in comparison to the life I was now living. So no regrets. So if you come on that journey with me and you let His Word speak, I believe too you will have no regrets. And so let's talk a little bit about this gap, and we're going to get to the cups because I know it's killing you right now. You just, you know, you can't even hear what I'm saying because you see these two cups here and you're like, I need to know what's going on here. Well, as we talk about, the gap is a gap between what the Bible says is true and our current experiences that don't line up with that. But the gap is not between us and Jesus. And I think this is super important to realize, because this is where we get it wrong. Because more often than not, people think that this is the gap, right? And if I don't explain this, you'll always, when I say the gap, you'll always think that I'm referring to this. And we think that this is Jesus and this is us. In case you're wondering, yes, these are just two church coffee cups, one poorly taped with masking tape. This is the extent of my craft. I should have got you to do this, Lacey. Look at this. It's like, okay. So, this is Jesus. This represents us. And we think that there's this gap that exists between Him and us and our current reality. And, you know, when we go to church and pray and do all this stuff and we work hard, of course, with a little help from God, you know, we get a little bit closer and a little bit closer. We'll never get there, of course. But we just get a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And maybe when we die, we'll get there. But that's a very future thing, and we have no control over that. But for right now, there's here, and this is the gap we're experiencing, and that's what it is. Now, this may be totally what you believe. You may be thinking, oh, Keith, yeah, that's a great illustration. That's exactly the way things are. And that's great, because self-awareness is the first step to change, right? Then you got to do the hard change. But you got to be self-aware. If this is what you think, I hate to break it to you, but it's wrong. It's totally, completely wrong. And that's okay. I mean, for the longest time, I believe this is the way it was. But it's not true at all. The truth of Scripture, what it says, is that we're actually in Christ Jesus. So it says that if you believed in Jesus, you came to faith in Him, if you're His follower, this is your current reality. Where Jesus is, I am. Where I am, Jesus is. Christ in me, hope of glory. Right? His very Spirit lives in us, the Spirit of Christ Jesus, the risen Lord. So here's a Scripture. There's like 100 like this. This is just one of them. And this is what we read in the Bible. It comes from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You are in Christ. The Spirit of Christ lives in you through Christ. This is it. This is your current reality. Okay? Scripture is very, very, very clear about this. This is the truth of Scripture. Not this. Okay? This is the truth of what the Bible says. You may feel this is what you're experiencing, but this is it. Therefore, this is not the gap, my friends. The gap is between this reality of what the Bible says is true and you experiencing this. You living your life as though this is true. This becoming your, not just intellectual belief, but your functional belief. That is the gap that exists. This is actually who you are right now. The gap is between the fact that you don't actually believe that's currently your reality. That is the gap that exists, and that's what we're talking about today. Now, we know that this gap exists because, you know, when you tell any Christian that you're in Christ and you start, you know, hammering this home, which I've done lots with people. You hammer this and you go through scriptures and you explain it and all that kind of stuff. It won't take long before one of you is brave enough to say, yeah, but I don't feel that way. Okay, Keith, you're saying this is true, but yeah, I don't feel that way. And you see, that's the gap, right? That's the gap. Yeah, but I don't feel that way. This is my reality, but I don't feel that way. That's the gap. And I think this gap was illustrated very well. I have an illustration to help you kind of visualize it, understand it. This was first put on to me by a lady we just referred to as Grandma Ruth. So she's a lady in our church, and I think every church has one of these ladies. You know, it's just, you know, this person is just like a beautiful woman of faith, like a saint, like a Mother Teresa-like, you know, person. They just exude the joy of Christ, and everyone, you know, respects this person. And when they talk, you just lean in a little bit to kind of try to catch some of the fruits of the wisdom that drops from their mouths. And that was Grandma Ruth to us. Wonderful. Her whole life worked as up north in Hay River. I think it's in the Northwest Territories as a nurse and just helping and caring and loving people. And one day we were talking about this. And she said, that reminds me of the truth train. I said, oh, gee, you got to tell me. Grandma Ruth, what is the truth train? And so she drew it out on a piece of paper and it looked something like this. You got fact, faith, and feeling. And the whole point of this is that the fact is the truth of what the Bible says, because that's the objective truth of God. And it says, and what it says about who you are, okay? And you putting your faith in that is the larger Christian life. So this is what the abundant Christian life looks like, the victorious Christian life, is you letting the truth about God lead you, putting your faith in that, and then letting your experience and your feelings follow you. The problem is when we let our feelings or the current reality of our experience be the one that leads the train, that drives the train, right? And then we start to believe lies about who we are. Right, because what you believe is about yourself is going to determine everything, right? And the gap that exists really is in the faith, right? In the faith in believing what the Bible says about us. And if you believe in that, then your experience will get elevated to match, and you will begin to feel the way that is true about you. And so this is what she explained to me. And I think this is so important, and I want to challenge you with this truth, as I challenge myself always with this truth, that we need to kind of let our feelings take the back seat, you know. It's not that, like, we're not looking at our experience and saying, oh, this doesn't matter at all. Our experience does matter, right? And it says a lot. But just allow it to take the back seat. Too often our experience is in the driver's seat, right? And it's driving everything. But if we let God's truth take the front seat, take the driver's seat, allow our experience to take the back seat, you'll be surprised, I think, what you find. And so that's what I've been doing over the last few years, is just kind of allowing that to happen, allow His Word to drive me, and just reminding myself of that again and again. And so the whole thing is really about your identity. Because there's lots of facts and a lot of things the Bible says, but the most important and most foundational is what it says about who you are. That's key. That is so important. Who you are matters most. I read recently in a book that the most common denominator for struggling Christians is that they don't know or don't have faith in who they are in Christ. In other words, your identity in Christ. Okay. That is the number one denominator. So if you are a struggling Christian, if you are not living a life you feel is reflected in the New Testament as the normal Christian life, then my friends, that is because probably, at least to some level, you are believing a lie about who you are. And you have to stand on the truth of what the Bible says you are, no matter what you may be feeling that is contrary. And I want you to grasp this truth. It's not what we do that determines who we are, but it's who we are that determines what we do. Because we're not human doings, we're human beings. And what we do will just flow out of who we are and what we believe about who we are. Jesus said this best in Luke chapter 6. He said that no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. But each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. See, it's really who you are that determines what you do, and not the other way around. A great example of this was one time I stepped out of a grocery store late at night, and I saw someone rummaging through my van. And I thought to myself right away, like most young men will, this person's robbing me. They're trying to steal my car. I had to do something about this. So I went up to approach this person, which is probably silly, but what any young man would do. And as I got closer, I could realize that this woman was not taking things out of my car, but she was placing grocery bags in my car. And I thought, that is a strange thing, because usually when someone's robbing you, they're taking the things out. They're not putting things in. She was putting things in my car. And so as I approached her and about this whole thing and had a discussion with her, she soon realized that what had happened is that she thought my van was her van. Because she had a van, same color, it's a Dodge Caravan, so, you know, they're everywhere, right? And she had one that was nearby, and it was a similar color. And as soon as she realized this, she felt embarrassed and took her bags out. But what I want you to see what was happening here is that she believed that she was the owner of the van. And because she believed that's who she was, she acted in a way that was consistent with that belief, right? But as soon as she found out that wasn't the truth, she was not the owner of the van, then she didn't act that way, right? So I want you to grasp this. It is a fundamental truth that people cannot consistently behave in ways that are inconsistent with the way they perceive themselves. And I'll say that again because this is what we need to see. People cannot consistently behave in ways that are inconsistent with the way that they perceive themselves. And so then the secret to closing the gap really is rooted in you believing and grasping what the Bible says about who you are, right? Sometimes in church we're so concerned about, you know, what I would call sin management. You know, we focus on surface level stuff and we say just clean this up, don't do this and do that. But you know, whoever changed their heart by changing a few things on the surface, right? You know, you change the fact about what you believe about yourself and who you are, everything will flow out of that, right? Everything. And so the next few weeks we're going to be looking at a lot of different truths from the Bible and using those truths to demolish lies, common lies that we believe about ourselves and about who we are. And today I just want to focus on just one of those truths, just very briefly, and it's this truth that we were talking about, that we are in Christ Jesus. Let's take a look at this scripture. It's from Colossians 3:3. It says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." This truth, I think, it's not encapsulated more succinctly any other where in Scripture than in this verse. Okay, but it's everywhere. In the book of Ephesians, in the first six chapters alone, there's 40 references to in Christ or being in Christ or Christ being in you. Okay, in just the first six chapters. And this is so key because so many times we look at Ephesians is one of the books of the New Testament. It's one of these like letters, so it's only six chapters long, but there's lots of these books in the New Testament. They're about five or six chapters long. They usually end with Ian. I don't know why. Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, all those kinds of. And we always, probably 90% of the sermons are preached from the last chapter or two, right? Because they have all the do's and the don'ts in there, right? The things like you shouldn't lust, right? So we do a sermon on, don't lust, and this is how you don't go about lusting. But what we fail to realize is it was a letter that was meant to be read as a whole, right? And there's six, we split it into six chapters, but when it was originally written, there was no chapters. It was just one letter. And the first, 90% of the book, the first, chapters 1 to 5, were all about who you are. It's all about who you are in Christ. They just unpack the truths of the gospel and about that and who you are now that you have found yourself in Christ Jesus and that you've accepted Him, you've been born again in Him, and you've died to sin and all this. It goes on and on about this, and at the very end it says, and so because of all that, because you are that entity now, you are that person, and all this is true about you, therefore, here are a few things that it'll look like. Or here's a few things you should do or not do. And we just focus on those things, and we don't pay attention that the large majority of it is it came out of what we believed about who we are, right? And so the Bible does that all the time. The fact about who we are really is at the core of right behavior, my friends. And I think one of the most common lies that we tell ourselves when it comes to our spiritual lives is this one, that we are like, currently not in Christ Jesus, but that the point of the Christian life is you try very, very hard, through moral self-effort to get closer and closer, and this is the journey, right? You'll never get there, and you only get to Christ, when you die kind of thing. And what's interesting is that some people catch on to this, and they go, well, then why am I even bothering, I've met people like this, and it makes a lot of sense, because if this is your philosophy, why are you even bothering to come to church and all this stuff? If you got to wait to get to heaven to do this, then this is just a lot of work then, right? Just don't even bother coming to church then, right? Because, you're not going to get there anyways, and all this is just a lot of work and just for a little bit of something that you're going to get anyways. And so if someone catches on to this, they'll just focus on the end. They'll say, well, my soul is saved because, I accepted Jesus, and I'll just wait until the end. Thank you very much. Those people actually make more sense to me than people who come to church every week and believe this about themselves, right? That makes a lot more sense. But this is a common belief that we have, right? And it's a lie. It's totally, absolutely false. Because the truth of the matter is, right now, we are in Christ Jesus, and there's nothing you can do to add to that or to take away from that. You see what I'm saying? You cannot add to this, you cannot take away from this. And none of this came about by your doing or anything that you did to earn that, right? Nothing. And I love this scripture because this one just summarizes it really best. It kind of encapsulates the whole gospel message and blows this gap thingy, false belief, out of the water. Just blows it out of the water. It comes to us from the book of Ephesians. It's another Ian book. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It's a gift. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See what I'm saying, my friends? It's He's done it all, right? It says we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. If Christ is there, we're there. We are with Him as He is with us. We are wherever He is. People spend so much time focusing on heaven, they don't realize that heaven is now. And you can have that because this is your current reality that you live in. It's kind of like our Canadian citizenship. That's a hard one. Canadian citizenship. Because our Canadian citizenship affords us all kinds of amazing, wonderful benefits. I mean, benefits that people would kill for in other countries. Like, you get free health care, and, you get support when you can't work, things like that, right? It's amazing. And why do you have all these amazing benefits? Because you were born. So congratulations. You did a lot. You did a lot to earn that. You know, you were born. You were born in this country, right? It's so interesting, right? And you think to yourself, well, we have all these amazing things. It's nothing to do with anything that we've done. And there's relatively nothing we can do to lose it, right? Because even the worst criminals in Canada, they still get free health care. They still get supported when they can't work and all this kind of stuff, and 3 meals a day. They get this, right? It's really almost impossible to lose your rights or to gain your rights, and you didn't gain it by anything that you've done. And so what would ever cause you to not take advantage of all those rights that you have because of your citizenship? The only thing I can think of is that if you didn't know, right? If you didn't know, right? You couldn't grasp that it was really true or that it was your reality, right? Of course, you could choose, I guess, not to. But I mean, like, if you broke your leg and you knew you had free health care, why would you not go to the hospital? Why would you choose that? Reasonably, the only reason would be is if you just didn't know about it. And I know this is true because I used to teach free ESL lessons to newcomers to Canada. And some of these people had been here a while. And they were relatively poor, and they didn't have much language skills in terms of English, so there was a language barrier there. And these people, some of them had landed immigrant status, some of them were actually Canadian citizens. And as I talked to them and hear their stories, they would talk about all these injustices that were happening to them and all the ways their employers were taking advantage of them. They didn't see this, but I could see this. I could see they were being taken advantage of by their employers. And I would go on to explain to them all these rights that they had as Canadian citizens, and that these things couldn't happen. Like, you had to get treated a certain way and paid a certain amount and breaks and all that kind of stuff. But that kind of blew their mind. And they never asserted their rights as Canadians because they came from countries, well, where you didn't have worker rights, right? So they just assumed this was a normal thing. I have just as many rights as I did back then. So they were stuck in this mindset. You know, this very sad mindset. And I had to, like, help show them. And even when you'd show them, sometimes they couldn't grasp it. And unless they could really, truly grasp that this is the new reality of who they are, they would never step into it. And they would never challenge their employer, right? And it's kind of like that with our heavenly citizenship, okay? You are now in the kingdom of God. You are in Christ Jesus. This is now who you are. This is your reality, right? But unless you step into and accept that, you will have none of the benefits that comes with being a child of God. And the evil one wants nothing more than for you to not realize this. He hates that I'm telling you this right now, because if he can't stop you from being a citizen, the second best thing he can do is stop you at least from asserting your rights, right? From taking advantage of all that you have in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't do that, you'll be sad and ineffective. And he wants you to be sad and ineffective. In fact, that does a double purpose, because not only are you sad and ineffective, but when other people look at you, they'll say, well, I don't want your citizenship to your country, because you're just as sad as I am, but at least, you know, I have the rights to, you know, live with my girlfriend or speed or whatever, right? I don't, you know, so they don't... They don't see any advantage to your citizenship. They're saying, why would I want to be a follower of Jesus if there's no benefits that affords me? You know, because it doesn't look like your life is any more beneficial than my own. Because we don't have a victorious, abundant life in Jesus, right? So, we got to overcome these lies that we're telling ourselves about who we are and step into the truth, right? This is really simple, actually. We just got to renew our minds and take captive our thoughts, right? Because we have the power to do that, to renew our minds and take captive our thoughts. And that's so key, because we live all the time in a world that says this is the way it should be. You know, and we came from a world, and we came, before we were in Christ Jesus, we were a certain way. And it's easy to believe that we should still be the same way, right? Just look at these two scriptures, because this is how we battle the lies, and this is how we step into our true identity. First one is from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And also 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ Jesus. My friends, stepping into your identity starts with reminding yourselves of who you are in Him. Right? That's what it begins with. You got to remind yourself, and you got to do it time and time again. Right? Because the evil one and the world and your old self is always reminding you of a certain lie that is not true. You've been living in that for a long time. It's going to take a lot of repetition to get into your head who you really are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to be hammering it home over the next several weeks again and again, different aspects of that from different angles to try to beat it into your head. But the Holy Spirit has to do that work. And if you're willing and you ask Him, He will start to do that. And not only to make you know it in your mind, but that He would testify to your very heart that this is who you are, right? And that you would feel that way. And so you need to affirm this. And the more you begin to affirm this, the more you'll step into that reality. So that's like reading your Bible, reminding yourself of the truth of God's Word, having conversations with other believers, people who understand who you are in Christ Jesus, having conversations with those people, praying those truths back to God, reminding yourself of them, memorizing the Scripture, listening to songs that reaffirm that in your heart. Whatever it is, there's lots of things you can do, but just renewing your mind time and time again. This is who I am. 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 And you never stop that. This is who I am. This is who I am. It reminds me of an image like of a butterfly and a caterpillar. Okay, a caterpillar, you know, he goes through a metamorphosis, as they call it, a great transformation to become this beautiful butterfly, right? And like, it's kind of like our Christian life. So we go through a metamorphosis, a transformation takes place when we put our faith in Jesus. And this is what happens. We were here, and then boom, like we're here, right? That happens. It's the reality. It's like the physical reality of the caterpillar to the butterfly. But unless we undergo like a heart and like a psychological transformation, we'll never live any different. Because if the butterfly still thinks it's a caterpillar, it'll still be constrained to crawling along the ground. It will not take flight, although it has the ability and it is now something very different. So you have to know that, my friends. And so my encouragement to you is to just stop trying, even if just for a season. If you could, just stop trying so hard to be who you think you need to be to get closer to Jesus. And just start living the reality of who you already are. Just start living the reality of who you already are. Start believing the reality of who you already are. Start living as though that is already true because it is already true for you. My friends, when you do this, it'll begin to transform your life. And, I know even for myself, sometimes people will say, you seem very easygoing. You know, you got a lot of responsibility and pressure on your shoulders all the time. And why is that? It came from my identity, you know. I used to worry a lot about things and struggle really hard and be a perfectionist and make sure all these things were in order and stuff. But, you know, just as you grow in your identity in Christ Jesus, you have a sense of self-confidence that comes in just knowing who you are. It's not a self-confidence, but I know who I am and I can't change that. And I never earned that. And you just are just comfortable in that reality and it flows out from you. And you're not worried because whether I make a mistake or whether this happens or that happens, this hasn't changed. Who I am hasn't changed. And what God thinks about me and who I am hasn't changed. You know, so you just feel, it gives you a sense of security, right? That makes you unshakable, right? It's a solid foundation because any other lie that you may base your identity on is a false lie and becomes a false identity, and it's not stable. It's kind of weak. And so when the storms come and the earthquakes shake you and life's troubles come, you're going to fall apart, and everything you built on that will fall apart, right? But when your identity is centered on Christ Jesus, you're unshakable, right? Because it's the truth that stands. And so I just want to remind you once again, nothing to do with what you do, but everything to do with what Christ has done for you. And so we want to take communion together today. That, you know, if you're, this is the first time you've been in a church, you're probably not just wondering about the cups. You're wondering, what are these things? Those things are more interesting because what's under those things? Well, it is elements that represent the body and blood of Christ. Because we remind ourselves, and Jesus said we should constantly remind ourselves, that He bridged the gap. He's reminding us, and this is why we do communion, because this is what we once were, this is who we now are. And Jesus reminds us that the cross bridged the gap because of what Jesus did for us, because His body was broken on the cross, and His blood was spilt on the cross for us. He's bridged the gap, so now He is in us, and we are in Him because of what He did. And that's why we always remind ourselves of what He did for us on the cross, and we celebrate that. So I want to celebrate with you and just come to a place of gratitude for God that's already done, that He did this through the cross. When the cross happened, that happened. And when I put my faith in what Jesus did on the cross, that happened. And that's who you are. And so it's not a thing of about like trying. It's not. This isn't another way to try and work hard and to purify yourselves. It's a way to celebrate what is already happened and how you are already pure in Christ Jesus, for He's washed you pure, white as snow in His blood. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, I would so encourage you today to partake with us. And as I invite the elders to come forth and to get ready to help me to distribute those, I just wanted to pray for you that God would help you in this journey that you're on. So let's pray. Dear God, You're so good to us, Lord. What an amazing truth it is that because of what Jesus has done for us, now we are in Christ Jesus. And there's so much that means that we unpack it would take so long, and we're going to be unpacking it, I know, over the next coming weeks and months. But would You already, Lord, start to draw us into that reality, into that truth, that we are Your children, that we are in Christ Jesus, that He is in us, He loves us. Lord, I'm so excited for that. I just thank You for that, Lord. Remind us that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. Holy Spirit, speak that to our hearts. We are in Christ. You are in Christ. I am in Christ. Keith is in Christ. Lacey's in Christ. We are in Christ. Remind us of that day in and day out. And Holy Spirit, lead us to an acceptance of that truth so that our lives would and our experiences would begin to be in alignment with that which is already true about us. Lord, in Jesus' name, we demolish any lies we are believing that may come against or contrary to the truth that we are in Christ Jesus. And we establish in its place the foundational truth that we are in You, Jesus. Amen.